there's this illustration that came to mind about 17 years ago, I think, if I can remember correctly. There was this thing that went on YouTube, and it's this Navy vessel, and it's like USS Alabama or something, and they pinged something in the ocean, and so they're like, the captain's like, this is the USS Alabama, you will direct your course 4 degrees, whatever, nothing. And then a voice comes on the radio, hey, this is so-and-so, no, you correct your course 5 degrees. And then, like, you can check the captain, he's like, I'm not having any of this. And he's like, I'll repeat, this is the USS Alabama, we are a warship, we'll blow you out of the water kind of thing, you. And then the voice comes, and there's this to-and-fro thing on this voice, and there's a silence. And then it's like, hey, mate, we're the lighthouse, your call. And like the captain's like, and like the second in charge, he just walks away. You know, it's like, and your call, it's the lighthouse, your call. And I just felt like God is an immovable force. He's the lighthouse. And I think I think tonight he's going to, like, it's like we can tell him, and you need to move, God. You need to move. We do that to God. Like, you need to move. And I'm feeling like the Lord's saying tonight, no, he's the lighthouse. He's the immovable force. He is the King of glory. He is God above everything else. We need to move. He can't move because then he's not God. Does it make sense? And so as you hear the preach tonight, just think of that. Like, maybe he wants you to move there to Kells River next year. Maybe you think, oh, man, but we like the building here. We like what God is doing here already. Like, if God wants you there, rather be where God wants you to be. Or if he wants to lay down something this evening, rather lay it down. He's not going to move. And so often we try to make God move, and he doesn't move. And then we hate him, and we get angry with him, and we get angry with each other. It's not because of anything that he's done wrong. It's actually our heart's opposition wrong. So I want to speak about two things this evening. I want to look at two little words that mean a lot to us. Hebrews 11, verse 7. So we're going to look at a guy named Noah, like one of my favorite guys. And it says this, Hebrews 11, verse 7. So by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes through faith. So just, can you keep it up there? So the two words that go hand in hand in our Christian walk are faith and fear. Have you ever thought of putting those things together and they're actually a similar thing? I'm throwing it out there. And so by faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built the ark. And so what we need to understand about faith molds us into people that God can use, and the fear of the Lord actually pushes us forward into the things that mold us into the people that God can use. And so I want to show you quickly through the life of Noah, very quickly, through the life of Noah, a few things. So firstly, Noah had faith in God in his everyday life. So if you're waiting for God to do something magnificent with you, and I hope he does, he's not going to do it until you're faithful in the little. He's not going to give you big things if you're not faithful with the small things. Think about that. And you might be going, what do you mean, Brett? Check what happened to Noah. This is wild. Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's how it starts. The story of Noah starts, okay. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless amongst the people of his time, and he walked with God. So that's how the story starts. His everyday life, he was just doing what God called him to do. Somehow he was walking with the Lord. Remember back in that day, there was no church, there was no Bible, there was no like scrolls, there's nothing. So he's walking with God somehow, and he finds favor in the eyes of the Lord in his everyday life. God loves to break into the mundane. So think about Jesus, the King of glory, the Son of God, gives up his heavenly realm to come to earth. Where does he get born into? a manger, in a stable with animals. The King of Glory, he loves to break into our mundane. He loves to come when we're doing dishes, or when we're driving the kids to school or to sports, or when we're walking the dog, or when we're in the shops doing stuff. He loves to break into the mundane. He wants us to have faith in our everyday normal life. There's like two people that agree with that. He loves it when we find faith in him, when we do our work well to the best of our ability. So somehow Noah finds favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he's the most righteous man out of everyone. And remember, God is raging to the point that he said, I regret making mankind. And he looks and he goes, who's my man? Oh, Noah, he's just faithful, just doing what he does. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Do you have faith in your ordinary? Or are you so far looking there that because you're wanting your name to be great or whatever it is, that you're not actually looking now here? And we can't find faith here, we're not going to find faith there. Does it make sense? It's like, simple, hey? I think Noah understood something about religion and relationship, I think. I'm just going to read into the text a little bit here. Religion is, if I obey God, therefore he'll give me whatever I want. That's religion. It's that ticking the box thing. If I do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, then God's going to do something for me. Relationship is totally opposite. God is, therefore I will obey. You see the difference? It's like, we're not yet to tick boxes so that God can give us stuff. God is the immovable force. He is the lighthouse. It's because of him being the lighthouse, he's going to save us from the darkness. He's going to save us from the rocks. He's going to save us from ourselves. He's going to save us from the enemy. He's going to save us from us doing crazy, stupid things that we shouldn't be doing. It's because of who he is, I want to obey him. It's because he's awesome. Not the other way around. He doesn't care what we do, actually. He doesn't really need us to do stuff for him. He is God. He's self-sufficient. We've preached about this in the past. What he wants is he wants us to love him for who he is in our lives. And more often than not, he comes through the ordinary. Think about the prophets. He's looking for God in the firestorm and in the whirlwind and in the rocks because the wind was blowing. And then he said, no, you will find me in the still, quiet voice. So that's the first thing. Are you finding faith in God? Is your faith in your everyday life, in your work, in your kids, in your school, in your studies, is that molding you into a man or a woman that God can use? Second thing that we see, no, he had faith in God in the midst of the warnings and the threats. So God is threatening to wipe out mankind and every animal that isn't on the ark. That's quite a big threat, right? And so if Noah hadn't believed the threat, he wouldn't have held on to the promise. So Charles Spurgeon actually says this better than I could ever. Says this, Noah's faith believed both the warnings and the promises of God. If he had not believed the threat, he would not have prepared an ark and so would not have received the promise. Men do not prepare an ark to escape the flood unless they believe there will be a flood. And so right now, I know in my heart, because I've been a pastor for a very long time, there are some of you that God is threatening right now in your life because you are not living the way that he wants you to live. And you're not thinking the way that he wants you to think. And instead of believing him, you're trying to cover yourself. And just because your circumstances aren't good, don't seem to be good, like not too bad now, that a false sense of security. God opposes the proud and he opposes sin 100%. I'm doing a study on Jonah. And Warren Wiersbe, who is one of the commentators I've been working through, he says this, it's possible to be outside the will of God and still have circumstances appear that they're working on your behalf. You can be rebelling against God and still have a false sense of security that includes a good night's sleep. And he's alluding to when Jonah's on the boat and chaos, I mean, like I was looking at, the wind was so strong, the words used in the Hebrew, that it was threatening to break up the boat. And Jonah's lying, sleeping. Everyone else is freaking out. They're throwing things overboard. They're scared they're going to drown. He is dorsing. He had a false sense of God's good. He had run away. He had totally opposed what God wanted him to do. And he thought he was fine. And I'm telling you now, there's some people here in our midst that are doing exactly the same thing. It just hasn't caught up with you yet. Think about it. I say this because I love you. Sin is going to kill you. Rebelling against him is going to kill you. Not taking his word on board is going to kill you. It's not going to kill me. I'm trying my best to obey him. It's going to kill you. Believe him, please. Because the word of God says in other places, God disciplines those who he loves. He doesn't desire any of us to fall away. But some will fall away because we are so stubborn against him. So believe the warnings and the threats because it's to get us back on track. Do you have faith in that time where you go like, oh man, God, thank you. Like, thank you. Shape me, shift me. I'm going to heed that thing. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole away from you. Anyways, so Noah had faith in God in his everyday life. He had faith in God amongst the warnings and the threats, but he also had faith in God in the midst of the impossible. So God asked him to build a boat in the middle of a desert where there was never ever rain. It's pretty impossible. Like, think about that. I don't even know where they got the trees from because there are no trees in that region where the ark was built. So in Genesis 2 verse 6, but the streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. So that says that there was no rain there. Somehow water was coming out of the ground. There was no rain. Then he is called to build an ark that's like 120 meters long, 22 meters wide, three stories high, with him and his three sons. How did they do that? So they had to get the trees, they had to cut the timber, they had to put this big structure together. There was no Caterpillar heavy machinery. It was them and his, think about it. The volume, if you want to put sheep in the ark, 125,000 sheep would have fitted into the ark. That's a lot of lamb chops. Think about it. It's like the impossible. It's like it took 7 days in Genesis 7 verses 4. It took 7 days for the animals to get into the ark. It wasn't like, hey, Noah's like, hey, come animals, get in the ark one afternoon and we're going to close up. If you go read there, it's like 7 days from now, I will send the rain on earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I'll wipe out everybody. It's like, get all the animals that God wants in the ark. Shame dinosaurs and Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon. You're not even welcome. You're too big. Cheers. Have a lovely life. Like the sheep are like, woohoo. The lions are like, woohoo, we made it. But think about that. 7 days, animals are coming from wherever they're coming and they're getting, that's. What's your impossible? Who saw the feet of Jan and family coming home today? How flippin' amazing is it? That was an impossible thing where a baby almost died over and over and over and over and over again. God's done something that the medical profession said probably wouldn't happen. She's home. Elizabeth is home. For the first time, how long? It's been a while now. 2 months, 3 years. What's your impossible? Do you have faith in that? Jazz is a good friend of mine. We've had a long road together. And she moves. We're going to step out you a little bit. Can we? Don't know. Let's try. I've seen she's got a gift of healing. Like when she prays for people, people are healed. Like miraculously. I've seen it through the years. So who's here tonight that you are really struggling with like physical health, body stuff, that the doctors are going, it's not going to happen. Anybody, like anyone of you brave enough to go, we're going to step out. Cool. Do you want to stand with us? You want to stand with me? Are you able to? Anyone else? You don't have to. I don't want anyone else. Like you want, we're going to ask the Lord to use Jazz tonight in the impossible. Sorry, Jazz, throwing you under the bus. Anyone else? You're like, I have faith tonight that God's going to heal me and do something fresh in my body. Yeah, you're welcome to stand for someone else. Oh, a lot of people standing for other people. Anyone else? Maybe this side of the church. Hey, well then, you're the first on this side of the church. Okay? Again, God can do whatever he wants to do. But man, I can't preach on faith and we don't do anything faithy. It would be weird. Okay, Jazzy. Sorry, I'm just, that was, I know you're ready in season and out of season. So.
Can I pray for the guys? So I was telling Deborah before the service, I've had a really bad left wrist for the last day and a half. And something on my way home from church this morning just dropped. Maybe it's for someone in the service this evening. So I do want to be obedient and I want to throw it out. If your left wrist has been sore, it's like this angled pain that comes every now and again. Please would you stand? Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Yeah, Jesus, I want to firstly acknowledge that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the one that has knit each and every one of us here present and those we're standing in the gap for, God. You have knit us together in our mother's wombs and you have designed us, Lord Jesus, according to your will and your purposes. And I want to pray right now, Holy Spirit, where anything is out of alignment with what you have created, we want to ask that you would bring it back, Lord Jesus, that any pain in wrists or in body would leave in Jesus' name, that any unexplainable physical illnesses would be healed right now in Jesus' name. We want to ask that, God, if there is immune issues, if there is heart issues, God, whatever the situations are, that your Spirit would come and do a miraculous work right now as we trust you, that we have the faith in you as our God, the one that is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. We come boldly and we ask, come and do a work in Jesus' name.
So, let's trust. If God does something with the wrists, some wrists on that side, hey? Let's hope even by the end of the evening that something has shifted. Because God can do what he wants to do. I think we just got to ask him. And then lastly on this, the faith that molds us. Noah had faith in God when no one else followed him. And this is wild. So it took anything between 75 years and 120 years to build the ark. And in that time, not one person outside of his family followed him. And so 2 Peter 2 verses 2 to 5, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on the ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And so by him making the ark, he was actually preaching the righteousness of God and seven others. That's it. And so our faith that molds us is faith in the ordinary, in our everyday life. Faith when God is warning us and threatening us, or even when our leaders are going, hey guys, we've got to be careful here. You open your heart to things that aren't God. Or in the impossible. Or when no one else really follows. Do we have faith in God? Does that faith mold us into men and women that God can use? But the starting point for this is the holy fear. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of life and of wisdom and of faith. And so I think the fear of God is this, that we run to God in our everyday life. We run to God in the warnings and threats. We run to God in the impossible. We run to God even if no one else follows. See, the fear of the Lord is going to where God is. He's the lighthouse. He's the immovable force. And so often, when we're spiritually sick, guys don't come to church. And it's not coming to church, it's coming to worship with God's people. It's when things are going hard, we run away from God. Like, it doesn't make sense. When our bodies are sick, we go to the doctor. When we break an arm, we go to the ER and they put a cast on it. But when it comes to the spiritual things, we almost like it's opposite happens. We run away from God. See, that's not fearing him. Fearing him is that we see him for the hugeness that he is. And in that, We run to him in every situation. And we see Noah doing that. He held it. Sinclair Ferguson is a theologian of old. He says, the fear of the Lord tends to take away all other fears. This is the secret of Christian courage and boldness. So when we run to God, that's when courage happens. That's when boldness happens. That's where faith happens. That's where, not the other way around. Like everyone that ran away from God didn't end well in the Bible. If you think about it. Think about Peter, think about Judas, think about Jonah, think about Israel. Think about all the things that didn't go well were because people were running away from God rather than to him. And I want to end with this because I have 3 minutes and 40 seconds left. The fear of the Lord always leads to obedience. Not obedience to me or to the elders or to the deacons. I saw you. She tries every week. It leads to obedience to God. And the reason why I say that is in Genesis 6:22, it says this, Noah did everything just as God commanded. And in Genesis 7 verses 5, Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. So he did just as and all. We can't do this the way we want to do it because this isn't ours. Church is not ours. Church is his. We have to do everything just as he says and all that he says. Otherwise, we're going to be hitting our heads against the brick wall until he comes back. And so, I think what the Lord wants to do tonight is, I think he wants to build a renewed sense of fearing him in a godly way, where we revere him and we look to him and we adore him and we have wonder for him and we make his name famous in the way we live and we love and we, rather than the opposite. They will have a renewed sense of, man, my God is a lighthouse for me. And maybe tonight, he just wants us to stop kicking against him. Maybe I'll end with this. There was a parable or whatever you want to call it, a proverb, where there's this guy living by himself and the Lord comes and speaks to him and they're chatting and they're like, having conversations. And the one day God says to him, he says, hey man, can I ask you to do something? He says, sure. He said, can you push that rock? And God leaves and the man says, yeah, I want to do what God wants me to do. So he pushes the rock and every day he pushes the rock and like 50 years go by and he's still pushing this rock. And the one day he looks at this rock and he's like, man, I'm not making any headway here. This rock hasn't moved one bit. And he starts getting depressed and he starts losing his mind a little bit, and eventually God comes back and he says, hey, what's happening? For all those 50 years, you did so well. And then now you're just looking despondent and beaten down. And he said, but God, I tried so hard to push the rock and it just never moved anywhere. And I'm such a failure. And like, why would you want to converse with me any longer? And the Lord said to him, bud, I didn't ask you to move the rock. I just asked you to push against the rock. And so for all these years, you've done exactly what I've asked you to do. Well done. And I think God's calling us, like, what is your rock that he wants you to push? Whether it moves or not, that's not the point. The point is, he wants you to push whatever he wants you to push. And however that looks, it doesn't matter what you think it should look like. It's what he thinks it should look like. And so some of us might have pushed the rock, and you responded in nothing happening. It's not about the rock moving. It's about what God wants you to do. Because the fear of the Lord is a beautiful thing. Because God confides in those who fear him. He whispers to them his purposes and his plans. And it brings us freedom. So can we pray together? For the Holy Spirit just to do something in us when it comes to this tonight. Father, we want to thank you for being an amazing God. Thank you for encouraging us through your word. Lord, you want us to be people of faith and of fear. You want us to obey you because it's the best place to be. Lord, tonight I want to ask, and we want to ask for whoever wants to, Lord, that you will stir up a renewed sense of the fear of the Lord amongst us. That, Lord, we'll step where you step and move where you move and speak when you want us to speak and stop when you want us to stop. Lord, that we'll stop building our own things and together as a body, as your church, that we'll start building one thing together that you want us to build. That in a sense, Lord, we'll become like an ark, a vessel for salvation and righteousness in our areas that we live. That you'll give us reverence for you, but also that we'll be terrified to not be where you are, God. Whether it's our everyday life or the threats, the warnings, the impossible, even if no one else follows, we'll stand firm and still in who you are. That you'll open our spiritual eyes just to see you fresh tonight. For the great God that you are. That you'll break pride in us, selfishness, jumping through hoops, or whatever it is. That you'll break our foundations. Tear down the walls. Just where you are, just if you want something like that, could I mean, you got to ask the Lord. You got to long, wasn't for longing for it. Fresh sense of his infilling of his spirit. Lord, we want to be where you are. You'll build faith in us too. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lord, we are sure that our hope is in you and you alone. We are sure that you are coming back. victorious, King of glory. Lord, we are certain of what we do not see. We're certain that you are working in us. Love you, Lord. I just love these moments just of calm and peace. Love you, Lord. Love what you're doing, God. Mold us and move us, Lord. Mold us and move us, Lord. Who's had a song on your heart for the last few days? Like a song, like if I felt like the Lord say there's someone with a song on their heart. And does it fit in with what we've spoken about tonight? That's the question I want to ask you. Anyone? Look, whoever, just not heard right. Have you had a song in your heart, eh? Have you had one? Do you mind if I read it? I'm going to steal a song. Can you sing it for us? Will you? So, I've got my back against the wall, feeling so small. I need you closer, like the air that I breathe. The darkness has grown near. My heart is full of fear. Oh Lord, I need you to steer. Closer, closer to you. Closer, closer to you. I want to feel your light shine. Come on. Light shine upon my life. Feel refreshed and renewed. I want to be close. I don't want to feel this way. I am ashamed. Please pick me up, Lord, and carry me through. I'm holding on to you. I was such a fool, not trusting you to lead the way. Closer to you, closer to you. You are my Father, the light in the dark. Fill my heart with a song. I want to bring you glory to you, all glory to you, glory to you. Closer, closer to you. I'm closer to you. I feel your light shine upon my life. I feel refreshed and anew. Closer to you, I'm closer to you, closer to you. What is going on? You can't make this stuff up. Like, do you have a tune to it? Can you? Actually, it's, I think maybe work on it. That's just, it's just. Do you have a tune? Okay, let's work on that. But the fact that you wrote that, this was it this week or a while back? Sure. It's like the light closer to God, faith. Oh, anyways. So God's speaking, God's doing some stuff. That's amazing.